today, I am going to answer this question. Is an eclipse a sign of the end times? So I was going to go into Genesis this morning, but so many people were rattled by an eclipse that I thought, let's talk about the eclipse. Why not? It's the day before the world ends. Listen, if you're visiting, don't get freaked out. I'm kidding. Maybe. So when we looking at this, and I wanted to go to Genesis. I didn't put this up, but if you would, put Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 up, if you'll just do that for me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. I'm only going to be in this passage for a moment, and then we're moving on. And today, we're just going to have a bunch of fun today with the eclipse. Amen? How many are like, don't make fun of the eclipse, Pastor? How many? You know, I was watching, and I keep up with earthquakes. I know, because I'm morbid. And I keep up with all the earthquakes that are going on. And they say, they predict that quite possibly in the next 6 to 8 months, there'll be an earthquake big enough to drop New York City into the harbor. Yeah. Let everybody swim to safety and let it be gone. Yeah, I'm with you. So, oh my goodness. All right. I am in one of those moods today. And it's going to be good. All right. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, it talks about, Peter says, hey, let me remind you, and we're picking up where we left off 5 weeks ago. He says, hey, let me remind you of creation, because they were arguing about things that never came to fruition, didn't happen, and, you know, from the forefathers, and they're like, oh, this is all a bunch of hooey. And so Peter says, hey, let me take you back and remind you. And so he takes them back to creation, because he tells them, look, you know the account. I want to go here to Genesis 1:14, because if we're going to answer the question on the eclipse and if it's the end of end times and so on and so forth, we kind of wrap all this together. Now, it's real difficult for me to do that in an hour and a half. So just ride with me and we'll get it done. And since I was visiting, you're going. Let's start here. I'm not going to cover everything, but I'm going to cover what I think is significant. Okay, guys? Genesis 1:14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And I've always looked at it, because I just never took the time to investigate every word of the Bible. But the more I learn, the more I grow, the more I understand, the more I really need to understand every word of the Bible. Amen. And that word seasons, and, you know, I would say, hey, we got four seasons, right? We have spring, summer, fall, and then winter. And it's like, hey, there's our seasons. But as I was going back and studying this, and what really stirred it was the eclipse. And the fact that people want to argue that daylight is sunlight and not daylight. And I was like, no, daylight's daylight, sunlight, sunlight. Just take the word of God for what the word of God says, and quit arguing with God. And so, you know, that leads me to be right. And it's all good. Amen. How many still go, no, sunlight is not. You guys are just like, what? What's your problem today? Here we go. Seasons literally means festivals. And you go, what? Yeah, times of festivals. Now, who goes, what's that make? What difference? Who wants to know what difference that makes? Anybody? Oh, enough that I'll go on. Okay. Festivals. What do we got? Man, we have the feast of, how many, I mean, what are there, four feasts, I think, in Israel? We have Passover. We have, I mean, there's the seasons that the scriptures talk about. These are the feasts. And he says that these happen when certain things happen or line up with the celestial stars, moon, the planets lining up. Do you guys realize, I did a podcast, I put it up Friday, and I guess it really freaked some people out. And then some people were like, it can't be true. Or, Pastor, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I can't accept it. Listen, I totally get it. I mean, some people were tweaked and twisted up like a pretzel. And what you have to understand is God doesn't operate like we operate. And there are things going on. So do you realize that tomorrow, five planets line up? Perfect. Do you realize that tomorrow, obviously, we have the eclipse? Tomorrow, we have CERN, and CERN is a universally government-owned system in Switzerland. And when I say universally government-owned, all the governments have invested into this. It's CERN, C-E-R-N. And guys, I'm not, listen, and you, please, if you go, Pastor, you're being a conspiracy theorist, please just Google it. That's all, I mean, like, if you just Google it, you're going to have to go, Pastor, you're just being. Because there's no conspiracy here, guys. This is real. It's out there. It's in the public. It's advertised. It's all over the news, or any news that's willing to report the news. And you'll see CERN, what it is a 17-mile big tube. And what they do is they're going to fire it up tomorrow, and they're going to send a signal into outer space and see if they can like break through and find the God matter. Now, they don't believe in God, but they want to find the God matter. That's what they've labeled it, not me. They've labeled it the God matter. And what they have done is real scientists that doesn't want to keep confusing children with evolution, they have all come to the conclusion that evolution is not real, and that creation is real, and they're going to use this machine to find out. And as a matter of fact, it is built in an area of Apollyon. And Revelation chapter 9 speaks of this being in Apollyon. And so when we see this machine is literally lying. It is dedicated to the goddess Shiva. And the goddess, this isn't even in my notes. John, stick to the notes. Oh my goodness, this is so crazy. The goddess Shiva, which is outside of CERN's facility. Shiva is the goddess of destruction and rebirth. Shiva is a male female or trans. This is Shiva, S-H-E-V-A. All you got to do is study this out, guys, and you'll go, wow, Pastor, you are a smart guy. And then, you know, like, thank you for sharing all this with me, right? And so they have this, but they're going to set this off. They're going to shoot it into the atmosphere tomorrow. And because people are like, hey, why is the National Guard called out to all these different states if it's just an eclipse? And so people are wigging out that the National Guard is called out. The state of Oklahoma said, hey, we want everyone to stock up on, I'm not telling you to go out and do this. I'm telling you what they told Oklahoma. So don't freak out. They told Oklahoma, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and stock up on food and water and medical supplies enough to get you through 3 or 4 weeks. If it's just an eclipse, why are we moving the National Guard all over the United States and they're telling them to stock up out in the Midwest? You know, in the Midwest, there's going to be a release coming up out of the ground of cicadas. Now, when I being in Ohio, and I know you guys in New York experienced, I'm sure you experienced the same thing, but we called them locusts. And they would cling to the trees, they would last for a certain period of time, and then they would die, and you'd go outside and you'd see a hard plastic, well, it looks like a plastic shell stuck to a tree. Anybody remember that? Okay, and we would call them locusts, and then at night, man, it's like, it's just the noise would drive you crazy, amen, right? And you're like, oh my goodness, so I recommend you get earplugs. And But they're saying, I thought it was in the billions that they were going to come out of the ground. Now they're saying trillions are going to come out of the ground. It's in the Midwest, not here, I'm sure we'll get an effect of them, absolutely, but it's going to be really heavily concentrated where the eclipse where it intersects or makes the X from the eclipse from 7 years ago and then the eclipse tomorrow. And in that area, there is going to be mass amounts of cicadas that are going to come out of the ground. And they're going to eat everything. And they're going to make a ton of noise and drive people crazy and freak people out. It's going to happen. And you're like, Pastor, you're crazy. All you got to do is wait until tomorrow. They'll tell me next Sunday how bad it was. I don't know, right? I'm just telling you what they're saying. And then, you know what NASA is getting ready to do? Tomorrow, NASA is shooting 3 rockets into the air tomorrow at the time of the eclipse. They're going to shoot one up just seconds before a full eclipse so they can record the sound and what's going on then. They're going to send another one up during the eclipse, and then they're going to send a third one up after the eclipse so they can get record of the before, during, and the after. And they're sending them up, and they want to put all this junk in the air. And then Bill Gates is talking about, now this is just not speculation. He wants to do it, but I haven't confirmed that it's going to happen tomorrow. But he wants to shoot rockets up into the air and loaded with dust, and so that he can block some of the sun with dust particles. So he wants to shoot rockets up in the air to do that. And then we have let's see, what else is there? Oh, so tomorrow we have Israel's going to sacrifice the red heifer. And the crazy thing about the red heifer is when Israel sacrifices the red heifer, they take the ashes of that. They'll have a temporary sacrifice altar set up, and they'll sprinkle the ashes around the altar. They'll make an oil out of it, and they'll pour that around the altar from the ashes of the red heifer to summon or to encourage the Messiah to return sooner, which they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. So they want the Messiah to come because there's war. And then I don't know if you guys know, but 2 Sundays ago, the UN got together, and every nation in the world has turned against Israel, including America. America no longer supports. Now here's what they did. They said that they were going to just sustain. They were going to just like not make. Well, if you're not going to stand for, you're standing against. Amen. And so every nation in the world now has turned against Israel. This happened 2 Mondays ago. And when the Bible says that anybody that turns against Israel will be cursed. And so now you have Israel who has no allies. And they're demanding Israel to step down from the Hamas war and to give Hamas the land. But here's the problem. Hamas does not want the land. See, the media has lied to you and me and has lied to the multitude. This Hamas war is not about land. It is not about the Gaza Strip. If you go back and really research it, what they did was they attacked Israel to stop the sacrifice of the red heifer, to stop their king from coming on a white horse. The war is over the red heifer being sacrificed, not the land that is there. It is a spiritual warfare, and people think Israel is crazy fighting for this land. They're not fighting for the land. They're protecting themselves because Hamas is trying to stop the red heifer sacrifice. Now, what does that have to do with Christians? Absolutely nothing. I mean, it doesn't affect us except for the ushering in, because prophecy will be fulfilled, and so it's going to usher in the rapture much sooner, the return of Christ. Which, by the way, let me say this. There's absolutely nothing that needs to happen prophetically for the rapture to happen. Nothing. Everything is in place. Everything has happened. Jesus Christ can sound the trumpets right now and his church be raptured out in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And those who are alive and remain will have to go through the tribulation. And that is going to be absolute hell on earth. And some of you might go, I don't agree with that. I don't care. You can be wrong all you want, because that's what the scriptures clearly tell us. Right? This isn't about what you like, what you don't like, if it scares you, if it doesn't scare you, if you agree or if you disagree. It is absolutely about what the Word of God says. Now, if we look at my sermon now, I want to get into this, right? Because I don't want, listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have no fear. There's no fear. What are you going to do? Send me home? You're going to promote me to heaven? I'm in. Until then, I'm preaching the gospel, which, by the way, Hochul passed a thing. I put it up on my Facebook. If anybody follows my Facebook, passed this thing where they have now passed a law to uptick your supervision over your social media's platforms, and anything they deem hate speech, they can have you arrested for. From what they read on your social media. And they're going to have you arrested. And let me just say this. How interesting is it that anything Christianity or scripture is considered hate speech? Wow. Hello? Does that mean I take my podcast down? No, it means I ramp it up. Because we're in the end times, guys. We are literally living out scripture. Today, we're watching it unfold. I know people used to say, oh, I'd love to live back then. Welcome to the future. Or welcome to the past in the future, right? We're there, guys. All right, I got to get on my sermon or else you guys really will be here until 2 o'clock and not like me. Here we go. All right, so as we're going to look at biblical passages that link end time events with astronomical phenomena. And so the sun, the moon, the stars, meteors, eclipses, all these are mentioned in Bible prophecies. And so I want you to look. I have the scriptures up here, Luke 21, 25 through 28. Luke 21, 25 through 28. Now, as we look through this, guys, all I'm doing is giving you the scriptures that talk about what the end is going to look like, okay? Am I telling you it's here today? No. What I'm telling you is it looks like it, but we'll see, right? 21, 25 through 28. And there'll be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, the distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Hold it right here. Can anybody, after reading this, see where we could possibly be there? Amen. I mean, everything just talked about, we're seeing and we're going to see. And they say, you know, how many felt the earthquake Friday? Yeah, they're saying there's more to come. A lot more to come. Like, a lot more to come. And like I was saying in the beginning, quite possibly the city's going to drop off. I just hope everybody swims to safety. And so, next one. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Do you know why the number one thing Googled right now is prophecy? It's all prophecy. Why is that? Because men's hearts are failing them. Do you know why? Because no matter what happens tomorrow, there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Another earthquake? Nothing you can do about it. Tornado? Nothing you can do about it. You can't stop what's coming. Do you know why we cannot stop what's coming? Because Jesus said, these things must come to pass. In other words, they're going to happen. And we can't stop it. Obviously, what's that bring? Fear. Fear. But Jesus says, if you know him, don't fear. Don't fear. I'm telling you, the closer you walk with Jesus and the more you know this, the more confident you become and the better you sleep at night. I'm just saying. Next verse. Oh, wait a minute. Let me finish this one. And by the way, I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm just giving you scripture, and we're facing tomorrow, and I've had 1,000 questions on this. And so I switched up my sermon to address the questions to everyone that decided to show up and hear it today. It's not about fear. It's about knowledge, understanding. Amen. So men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Earthquakes, next. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And so, listen, and that's why, is it the end times? No, I'm not saying it's the end times. But it sure enough looks like what Jesus said. And who would ever have thought, I mean, in a million years, that what was written 2,000 years ago is prophetically unfolding before our eyes right now. Literally everything. It's insane. Next. Now, when these things begin to happen, what are we supposed to do? Look up. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh, as the King James says. Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Christ is coming, is what this is talking about. Christ is coming. Guys, you listen. Okay. All this was prophesied. Not only was this prophesied, but the behavior of people was prophesied. The weather was prophesied. The nations warring against one another was prophesied. The red heifers prophesied. I mean, name it. It's all been prophesied 2,000 years ago, and today it's unfolding. If they got one thing right, I'd been like, ah, yeah, roll the dice. But when you get everything right, that should capture your attention. At some point, you got to go, Jesus is either real and really knows what's going on, or he's not. At some point, you got to land on that. He says, look up, because your redemption draws near. And I'm just going to tell you guys, men's hearts are failing them because they're scared. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to be afraid. And if you're like, Pastor, you're trying to scare me. No, but if this scares you, you got a problem. And it's a spiritual problem. Your fear is justified. Your spiritual condition can be changed if you just believe unto Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And you're like, oh, I don't believe it. Well, then hang in for the ride. There's your option. Like, I'm not here to scare you into anything. I'm not. Listen, I don't play with people's emotions. I've never done that. That's why I don't play music when I call you up. If you're going to give your life to Christ, man, you go to another church and they're playing wonderful music where you just want to come up and float. Oh, they're calling me. I don't. If God's called you, get up here. If he hasn't, stay seated. God bless. Let's move on. It's black and white. I mean, it's just black and white, guys. I am not even creative enough to use a different crayon when I color in a coloring book. That's how uncreative I am. I'm not here to confuse. I'm not here to move you emotionally. I'm here to give you information. And if you take that as a fear tactic, that's on you. If you take that as anything other than information, that's on you. I'm just going to keep giving you information. What you do with that information is entirely up to you. And so we see here where Jesus says, when you see these things begin to happen, look up. Well, I'm not saying that we're in the end times or that this eclipse is the beginning of the end. But what I'm saying is we're seeing these things happen. It might serve you well to look up. Amen. So listen, and by the way, let me help you out. Do you know what's happening right after the eclipse, within a few days after? Does anybody know? The blood moons. That's like blood moon. Yes. Which is really interesting. And of course, it causes end times hysteria, but don't let it get you. So listen, we see throughout scripture that scripture does talk about solar eclipse with the end times. It connects them together. Look here in Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of heaven, by the way, Isaiah was written about 2,800 years ago. And nobody argues, and I said this, I don't know, a few weeks ago, whenever I said it. I don't know when I said it, but I know I said it. Nobody argues the historicity of the scriptures and the dates that they were written. Nobody argues that. Nobody. Now they might not like what it says, but they don't argue when it was written. That's very key, right? Because then you want facts? There's facts. It was written such and such time. We don't have no problem with that. Look here, Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. Meaning the moon will not allow the sun's light to shine. We're going to see that. It talks about it. Look here in Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So, well, here's what, but let me help you on this one, okay? Just so you guys don't misunderstand this. What's the first line say? Immediately after the tribulation. If you're a Christian, a Christ follower, one who believes Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and there is no other, a biblical Christian definition, Christ follower, we won't be here. We'll be raptured out by then. So don't take this passage to go, oh my goodness, no, it has nothing to do with the church. All I'm pointing out is that in Scripture, we see where the Scripture talks about an eclipse. That's all I'm pointing out here, okay? But don't take this to mean that it's going to happen for us. This is happening during the tribulation, and I'm pre-trib, meaning I believe that the church is going to be raptured out before all crazy lets go. All right, so I put this up here. Next slide, please. There's no way to connect a specific eclipse with the fulfillment of end times prophecy. Guys, there's just no way to connect it. But we can look at the signs and go, okay, Lord, we're seeing everything you're talking about. But just because many people were freaked out thinking that tomorrow's eclipse is the end of the world, but it's not the end. And let me help you out. The end of the world doesn't happen. If the rapture happened now, if the rapture happens, how many just for a moment went, yeah. If the rapture were to happen now and the church was taken out, we know that the Bible the Bible tells us that there is 1,007 years plus a short time from the moment of the rapture. That's what's left. We know that because we know that the tribulation is 7 years. We know the millennial reign is 1,000 years. That's on earth. And then we know that Satan is released for a short time on earth. So we know it's 1,007 years plus a short time. So guys, when they talk about the world's coming to an end, don't believe it. The scripture is very clear. It's dude, we got 1,007 years plus a short time, whatever short time that is. And so don't get wigged out. Just get wigged out if the rapture happens and you show up for church and I'm not here. Am I saying that I'm going up in the rapture? Yep. You know why? The promise of Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. I am God the Father's child. I am heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And when the rapture happens, I won't have time to go see you. Because it says it'll happen in a twinkling of an eye. We'd be gone. And I'll probably have hair before I get to heaven. And the only reason I say that is they say that when we get our new body, what's it going to look like? And it's on average of about 30, because 30 is when you're an adult. We know that when God created everything, he created it in its adult form. And so man would have been about 30 years old, according to Jewish tradition. And at 30 years old, yes, I still had hair. I didn't start losing it until I was about 34. I don't know what God was thinking, but so be it. Next. Eclipses are quite common, with a total solar eclipse occurring somewhere on the Earth approximately once every 18 months. How many knew that? Somewhere on the Earth. Yeah, right? It's somewhere there's an eclipse. So we're not going to get wigged out over this eclipse. Except for there's eight other things going on, or seven other things that might want to get your attention. Next. Partial solar eclipses occur several times a year. Total lunar eclipses occur virtually every year in most parts of the world. So, guys, this is nothing new. Eclipses are nothing new. They happen all over the world. What makes this one so significant? It starts in, the one 7 years ago went across Salem, all the towns across the United States named Salem. Well, what's Salem? Salem means peace in the Hebrew, the Greek. It means peace. 7 years ago, boy, this is going to twist you up like a pretzel, but hold on, don't leave, don't get mad, just listen. At the time, Trump was president. And if you recall, when Trump was president, it was a time of peace. There were no wars. Our president stood on the land of North Korea and talked an insane man off the ledge. Whether you like Trump or hate Trump, you got to give credit where credit's due. And there were no wars when Trump was in office. Peace. Now we have this one coming. Not the resident, the eclipse. It starts in Jonah, Texas. And this is why people are trying to attach it to the scriptures. And you can attach it to the scriptures because we know, remember in Genesis 1:14, the seasons, the festivals? I'm telling you, and God talks to us through what? The sun, the moon, the stars. He gives us signs, tells us what's going on. It's very interesting that since Trump, and by the way, Trump's not even a Christian. If that hurts your feelings, it's okay. But he's not a Christian. And so we can't credit Trump for anything other than doing what's morally right. That's all I'm crediting him with. But then we have the resident in now who is absolutely morally bankrupt. And God's like, okay, here we go. The eclipse starts in Jonah, Texas. And it goes through all the towns of Nineveh through the United States, Nineveh. What's interesting about that is God used Jonah to go to Nineveh and they were to repent. And you know what happened when Jonah went to Nineveh and to preach the word? An eclipse. It's historically proven. An eclipse happened during that time. If you read Josephus, he tells you all about it. Josephus is a historian from then. And they repented. And when they repented, they were spared. So the eclipse goes through all the towns named Nineveh. And guess what happens? Guess what is 40 days after the eclipse? Pentecost. What's Pentecost? The beginning of the church. Am I saying we're going to be raptured out in 40 days? Nope, but it would sure be nice. Is there going to be repentance on America? I don't know. You know what's really interesting? Where the two intersect, where Salem and Nineveh intersect, is Egypt on the map, the town of Egypt. Guys, listen, this is all coincidental, so don't get caught up in what I'm saying. I'm just using a different crayon now to color a nice, beautiful picture. I mean, after a while, you got to say coincidences get thrown out the window, amen? And so we're seeing all this happen, guys, but don't get freaked out because they happen every year all over the place. I don't know if they always happen like they're happening now, but it's happening, right? The next one. There you go. So it's the time that Jesus spoke the words recorded in Matthew 24. There have been thousands of total partial and partial solar and lunar eclipses. And I just put this in there because I just want you to see, I'm not saying this is the end, because none of them seem to have had any significance on end times Bible prophecy. And so my point is, there's no way to know that this one's going to have a significance on end times, except for the fact of the eight things that are attached to it on the same day. That's all I'm telling you. And if we look in Matthew 24:29, let's go back to 24:29 just for a second. Immediately after the tribulation. And so again, guys, these are after the tribulation, but I want you to see how this doesn't apply to us right now, is because we know that the stars will fall from heaven back then. Have the stars fallen? No. So this is during the tribulation. I just want to point it out so we don't confuse anything. Matthew 24:15, Jesus also speaks of, because by the way, Matthew chapter 24 is prophetic, not for the church, but for the time of the tribulation. So when we read Matthew chapter 24, it's all prophecy, guys. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. We're in Matthew chapter 24. We're not going to see this, guys. Matthew 24:22. It's going to get so bad during that tribulation period that in 24:22 says, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, or no flesh would survive. People were like, oh, saved is salvation. It's literally talking about surviving. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The elect are those who get saved during that time. And so we know people are going to get saved during the tribulation period. And we also know that it's going to look a lot like tomorrow, only all over the whole earth with the darkening but the stars are going to fall. And so there'll be another eclipse here, but it's not tomorrow's. All right. So I don't want people confusing scripture. We know that there's eclipses that happen. We know that there's going to be one in the end days, and people use Matthew to say it. But guys, this is during the tribulation. It's got nothing to do with the church. The church will be gone. Who's the church? The church is the bride of Christ, those who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the church. If you're not the bride of Christ, you will be here to experience this. If you're the church, you'll be gone. Raptured out. Hair before heaven if you're bald. All right, so I want you to remember, though, one thing, and we're gonna close out with, oh, maybe. All right, Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Guys, we don't know what day it is. No one knows. So here's the deal. If you see it advertised on TV or up on billboards that April 8th is the day that Jesus is going to return, you're safe. You're safe because no one knows. So when someone predicts it, nah, they're psycho. I mean, they're not right. I mean, they're wrong. Right? So guys, for now, we just have to hang in there. But here's the thing. Peter does give us practical instruction. 2 Peter 3:11-12. Let's look at it. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Guys, this right here is the key thing that we should remember and stay focused on. Not the last day or when the day or if the day or anything else. This is what we focus on as Christians. I was talking to a friend of mine who is all out into guns and ammo, which, by the way, I love guns and ammo. I love the smell of black powder. I love hearing bullets ting off of steel plates as I shoot down the thing. And listen, I'm all about it. I love it. And he's like, well, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to fight to the end. I go, that will come. You can't load but so fast. And you can't see the bomb that they're going to drop on your head. So here's what we're going to do, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay focused on preaching the gospel to get people saved. Because when it all settles, that's all that's going to matter. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you going to heaven? That's all that matters. You can fight this all you want to fight it. You could build bunkers. You can you can have gas masks. You got whatever it is that you're doing or want to do or you think is amazing and you want to waste all your money on, go with it. I will say this, have food, have water, but you should have that anyway. You should have that anyway. And if I need a bulletproof vest, it's already too late for me. It's gone. It's just went down. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to be as holy as I can possibly be in my conduct and in my godliness. So that people see me and hopefully see Christ in me and then want desire to be like Christ. Amen. Guys, no matter what's coming or what happens, this is what matters right here. Do you really? Oh, this is, I'm going to scare you. Matter of fact, I'm going to scare the bejeebies out of you right now. The Bible says that a third of the world is going to go up in a plume of smoke from a nuclear bomb. Nuclear. And you're like, no way, they didn't have nuclear back then. No, but they had the ability to describe what it's going to look like. And it says that your skin will melt off your bones and your eyes will fall out of their socket instantly. And that the heat will take over and destroy everything that it consumes. Sounds like a nuclear bomb to me. And one third of the world's going up in a nuclear bomb. You know what my prayer is? That it hits 10 feet from my house. So it's instant. I don't even know it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just don't let me be on the fringes of it. Amen. 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 Listen, the positive is this, if it happens within 100 miles of my house, I'm gone. I won't even know what hit me. So I'm not going to be afraid of it. I'm just going to keep preaching the gospel. Because the Bible says it's coming. And you're like, I didn't like that one, Pastor. I didn't like it either. But why not know the truth? Amen? I know some of you would be like, I didn't want the truth when I came here, Pastor. I know, right? 2 Peter 3, or go to the next verse. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. That's coming. It's coming. Look here in 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Nevertheless, guys, it doesn't matter that it's all going to go up in smoke. It doesn't matter that it's all collapsing. What matters is that we are godly and we live a life that is such that people see Christ in us so we can share Jesus so they can get saved and they can go to heaven when all this goes to hell. Amen. That's what he just said. What does it matter? Nevertheless, look for the new heaven. Look for the promise. The rapture is imminent, guys. You don't have this. I'll just read it for sake of time. 2 Corinthians 15:52, if anybody wants that for their notes. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to be raptured out, guys. Don't get lost and act like the world when you have the hope and the promise and the life in Christ. Don't get lost in an eclipse and in all the junk that's going on with it. And by the way, it's crazy. Tomorrow's going to be crazy. We may not experience it for 22 days, they said. On 22 days, the day of the Passover, God talks in what? Seasons? Seasons are festivals? Interesting. In 22 days, we'll feel or see the result of what CERN did, and it happens to be on the day of Passover. I know, another coincidence. Just thought I'd throw it out there for coincidence sake. So I want to say this, guys. The next thing that we have to just think about, focus on, and worry about, if you will, is the rapture. That's the next thing on the prophetic timeline is the rapture, and it can happen at any moment. My last point right here, and I'm done. Living our lives in light of Christ's return means living in his holiness and anticipation. The scriptures tell us to anticipate the return of Christ, to look forward to the return of Christ. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it. I didn't come in here today with all kinds of news and information to scare you or to freak you out or to get your anxiety built up. But by the way, if you get anxious over this, you need to question your walk with Jesus. Because when you know Jesus, anxiety just kind of goes out the window, especially when we give it to him. And he says, cast all your care, all your anxiety on me. That's what God says. Don't get anxious, guys. Get excited. We live in biblical times. We are watching prophecy unfold at a rapid rate. And Jesus said, when you see the labor pains begin, and by the way, I believe these are the beginning of the labor pains. And he says, when you see the labor pains begin, understand this, that they're going to gain speed. They're going to gain momentum. They're going to get faster and faster and faster. And if you pay attention, guys, you can barely hold on. NATO and Russia just declared war against one another 3 days ago, 4 days ago. They're in war. They're in war. Wars and rumors of wars. Everybody's declared war on Israel. We're in war. Gaza, Hamas is fighting with Israel. There is war. And then God says anybody that goes against Israel is going to be cursed. And our government went against Israel. All of the world went against Israel. They're going to be cursed. And if you don't think, just pay attention. Follow it, because God's word never lies. So are we in the end times? Yes. How long will end times last? That's why we focus on being holy. Be godly. Allow other people to see it. Tell others about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I take every moment that I can take. I shared Wednesday night when I went to the firehouse. And I was talking about, I was like, oh yeah, you guys ready for the eclipse? Yes, it was a setup. It's always a setup. And I proceeded. And my wife on the inside, she was standing back like this. Amen. Amen. Keep it up. Amen. They need to hear this. Yeah. Look at that one. Amen. Why? Why? Matter of fact, one guy said, is there a punchline? I go, yeah. Yeah. The punchline is Jesus Christ is coming. Are you ready? That should be our focus. Not the sun hiding behind the moon for 4 minutes. Not rockets being shot up in the air. Not CERN blasting to create an explosion in there. They're hopefully opening up a black hole so they can get past the atmosphere and get to where God is. Remind you of anything else that we read about? How about the Tower of Babel? What's interesting is, boy, now, forgive me, I'll just take an extra 2 minutes. What's really interesting about CERN is it's a massive circle, 17 miles in diameter, that's been dedicated in Apollyon, the false god. And they've built this system to reach God today, and back in the scriptures, they say that the Tower of Babel had to have a foundation that was at least a mile and a half to 2 miles in diameter to support the weight as they built up to heaven to get to God. Isn't that funny? And just like God came down and confused everyone at the Tower of Babel, God's going to come down and tap those at CERN. Not today. So you don't have to worry if there's going to be a black hole and suck the earth out through it. That's what the scientists are saying. Well, what if? And then some are like, it's not going to happen. It's safe. How do you know? We've never done this before. And so they're saying, what if it opens up the black hole? Now I'm freaking people out. What if it opens up this black hole and we don't know what's on the other side and it sucks the earth through it and we all die? Okay. I go to heaven. What if? This is another what if. Boy, I'm rambling now, but you guys will learn something or hate me or something. Here we go. What if they blow a hole in the atmosphere on the other side. And that's what opens the gateway for the demons to attack Earth. What if? I don't know. Remember, I got different color crayons now. That's so bad. I'm just telling you what people are thinking. But here's what I'm going to tell you. So what? God's in control. God's in control. I can control one thing. This I can. My holiness, my anticipation, my walk with Christ. I can control witnessing and sharing the gospel so others can be saved and not live in fear that man has created. I can do that. I can control that. And everywhere I go, I do. I talk about Jesus and I ask very personal questions and I get some people who are willing to talk to me and some people who really get mad. And then you know what I do with the next person I find? The same thing. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. I really don't. I don't want to see you die and go to hell. And you can say everything that I talked about today is a coincidence. Or you can say, just pause for a moment and go, wow, there could be some validity here because the Bible's never been wrong. It has predicted this stuff, and everything is predicted we're seeing unfold. And if it got one or two things right, I could see that. But when it gets everything right, at some point, you got to stop and give it its due. So here's the question, guys. You're sitting here today. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? That's the question that you have to answer. If you were to die right now, and by the way, you're not promised tomorrow. Death rate in America is up 53%. I don't know if you knew that since 2020. You're not promised to get home. You're not promised not to wreck your car. You're not promised not to have an aneurysm. You're not promised that some psycho isn't going to shoot you. You're not promised anything of tomorrow. You're not promised your next breath. You're just not promised it. And so you got to ask the question, if I die, am I going to heaven? That's real. But that's something that you got to answer. I'll tell you this. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to heaven except through me. No one sees my Father except through me. All through Scripture, Jesus says, I am the door. The door what? To heaven. Narrow is that door. Why is it narrow? Because that's it. That's the only way. Wide is the way that leads to hell and to destruction. Why is it wide? Because everybody has their own way to get there. People are offended when I say Jesus is it. This is it. There is no other. It can't be. Well, what if it is? What are you going to do with it? That's the question you're faced with today. The Bible says if you want to go to heaven, that you have to believe unto Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins. Put your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, and there is no other. The way to hell? Don't do that. Done. Your choice. I want to give you an opportunity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your promises. Father, thank you that you didn't keep us in the dark on this, but you have given us, Father, you've enlightened us. You've told us. You've made it clear what to expect. Father, you've made it clear on how to get to heaven. Father, you have made it clear that you desire us to be in your heaven. Father, you have made it clear that Jesus Christ is your Son. He is God, and he is the only way to heaven if we believe and trust and put our faith in him. Father, you have made it clear that if we choose not to do that, then we get where what's left and what we're already condemned to, Father. Our default position is hell already. You sent a Savior so that we didn't have to go there, Father. Your word tells us that you have not sent your Son, Jesus, and Jesus did not come to condemn us because we're already condemned. But you sent Jesus to save us. And Father, today I pray right now that anyone sitting here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today that they repent, today they believe, today that they surrender, because they're not promised tomorrow. Father, none of us are promised tomorrow. But those of us who have hope in you through your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, I shall not be afraid of what's coming, Lord, because you're bigger than that. I will not be swayed, Father, of what's coming, because you're bigger than that. And I have everything in you. All of my eggs are in one basket. That one basket, Father, is Jesus Christ, your Son. And so, Father, today I just ask that your hand be upon us. And Father, that you would move your Holy Spirit to move those who are lost to surrender to you, Father, understanding that that is it. And Father, that they do it with all their heart and not their mind. Father, for you desire us who have the heart desire for you, not the knowledge desire to escape hell. And so, Father, do an amazing work. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, and I were to ask you the question, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? If you have a question mark, that means you're going to heaven, or you're going to hell, not heaven. If there's a moment of doubt in your mind, then the probability is great that you're going to hell and not going to heaven. I'm not trying to scare you. The Bible tells us that when we give our life to Jesus Christ, and we know, the Bible says that we know that heaven is our home. We know Jesus Christ is our Savior. We know. The Bible says that we can know. So if you're still speculating, that means you don't know. And so I just want to give you the opportunity to receive Christ. If it's your desire to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to make him your Lord and Savior, then you pray this prayer. But please, please, if it's not with all of your heart, do not pray it. Do not deceive yourself. If it's in your mind where you go, I better do this because I don't want to experience all the bad, that don't waste your time. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession unto salvation, not the head, with the heart. And so if with all of your heart you desire this, you quietly pray this prayer. The prayer is not magical. It's just a roadmap and a timestamp. All the change happens in your heart, not because of the words, but because you believe. So if it's your desire to give your life, you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Father in heaven, today I surrender. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe he died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose the third day, conquered death and hell, and he's at the right hand of the Father. I don't understand all of it, but I believe. And so today I repent with all of my heart. I ask you to forgive me of all the wrong that I've ever done. And I repent. I'm going to turn from my ways and I'm going to do it your way. I repent. I'm going to turn from the sin and I'm going to walk and try to live toward the godliness and the anticipation. Today, I am yours. And Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior beginning today.